Pastor Paul, how are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're fired up and just talking things of the Lord, my brother. I had the opportunity to meet you. It was probably about a month ago now, roughly. And my goodness, that testimony you gave that morning, it just gripped my heart, man. I love it. Love what you guys are doing. You pastor a church called The Way there in Horse Cave. Tell us a little bit about that church.
Yeah, man, The Way Church. So we planted The Way Church, excuse me, just over 10 years ago with nothing, man. So we have a story that goes, we had $400 and a prayer. So just burst out of nothing but the grace of God and a call of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he brought so many things together to make that ministry a reality. And so, yeah, we pride ourselves on being a ministry that focuses on reaching out to those that the rest of the world has kind of turned its back on. I mean, we make going after, leaving the 99 and going after the one, just our goal and our base, our real base vision and mission is just that. And so that's what we do. So we're heavily involved in recovery ministry. We, heavily involved in jail ministry and outreach and do a lot of stuff with discipleship. So that's our heart, man, is just to see every single person be encountered with the love, the grace, and the truth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot this morning about ministry and talking about the glory of God and the power and the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
And there was a part of your testimony, and I don't know if you want to share the testimony you shared that day on the air or not. That's going to be yours. But there was one part I feel like it's okay to say this. You had to end up preaching at a jail service a night you wasn't expecting to.
Yes, sir.
And you said before you left, your wife and your children got around you and prayed for you.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't mind to share that whole story. I mean, that's one of the coolest stories of our, that we have in our family, our ministry. So, so we had taken in three of my wife's cousins' children that had come from families that had been broken by addiction, and so they had become to live with us, and we were their guardians, and so that gave us a total of six kids in our house. But these three children were foster children of ours that they're actually family, and so we were caring for them and loving on them and just treating them like our own at the time, and. So one night, our jail minister called me and said, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. Is there any way you can slide down and preach the jail service for me?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, I sure will. No problem at all." And so I gathered my family around and said, "Hey, guys, I'm going to preach the jail service." And then my wife was like, "Hey, we need to pray for you." And so they gathered around to anoint me and just pray for me and pray for the men that I would encounter with the gospel that night. And so the oldest foster girl, as we were about to pray, said, "Hey, Paul." And I was like, "Yes, sweetheart." And she said, "Do you think my daddy will come to the service tonight?" Because her daddy was actually in that jail at the time. And I said, "Well, baby, do you believe that God can do that?" And she said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Then that's what we'll pray for." And then we were about to start praying. And she said, "Paul?" And I was like, "Yes, sweetheart." And she said, "If my daddy comes to church tonight, do you think he'll get saved?" And I said, "Well, honey, do you think God can do that?" And she said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, then that's what we'll pray for." And so my family gathered around me, and all of them laid hands on me. They anointed me with oil, and they prayed for me, and they prayed for the men that I was going to encounter that night, and they prayed a special prayer for Nolly's daddy. And, they finished their prayer, and I went down there and, went into the jail and had a little trouble getting in because I wasn't the person they were looking for. But anyway, they finally let me in and got all the men to come in for the jail service that night, and I began to, we sang a couple of songs. I began to preach the word, and honestly, I was a little bit discouraged because her daddy didn't come to service that night, and we're a little bit upset. But we persevere. You know what I mean? We push through regardless of our circumstance, our situation, or our audience, because we know that we're doing this for an audience of one. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the time of the service was coming to a close, I began to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we did an altar call right there in that jail cell, presented the gospel in its simplest form. And as I began to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, I looked over to my right, and through the glass, I saw her dad coming down the hallway. And as I, got into the gospel and began to talk about how we've all sinned and fallen short, and how the greatest gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, and that, he died for us while we were yet sinners, he came in the back of the room and sat down in the very back. And as I began to continue to preach the gospel and, talk about how all the call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and if we'll believe in our heart that if he's risen from the dead, and that we'll confess with our mouth that he's the Lord of our lives, that we'll be saved. And I gave everybody the opportunity to receive Jesus that night. And I want you to know that that man gave his life to Jesus Christ that night right there in that jail cell. And you could just feel the power of the Holy Spirit just so evident in that place. And, you know, after it was over, you know, him and I never really had saw eye to eye until that moment. And that night we embraced and just cried together and just praised the Lord. And, you know, I was given the blessed opportunity to go back to my home and walk in the door and be like, you guys are never going to believe what happened. and told them the same story that I just told you. And you should have seen the light that shined in that little girl's eyes. And right now you can't tell her that God doesn't answer prayers. You can't tell her that God's not on the move, that he's not active and available, and that the gospel doesn't do exactly what we say that it does, save souls, change lives. And so now, this is a few years later, so she has actually been restored to her parents. Not only did her dad, T, get saved, her mom also got saved. They've both been delivered from addiction. They've both been clean for a couple of years now. They have their own home. They both work. They serve in our church. They serve and celebrate recovery. They work for the Lord. They have been incredibly blessed by the power of God in that family. And like I said, you can't look that little girl in the face and tell her that God's not alive and active. So there you go.
Man, I love that testimony because, I mean, that's the gospel, man. It's not just to build nice buildings and have great ministries that everybody knows our name. It's for that little girl to get her family back, because that's what Jesus does.
Amen. And that's exactly it, brother. You know, that's exactly it. You know, and I've got some friends that serve in some, you know, some great, powerful, you know, large ministries. And they always tell me, man, if you'll do X, Y, and Z, then you could build a mega church out of this thing. And I'm like, you know, that's probably true, brother, but that's not our heart's desire, man. Our heart's desire is to go after the one. Our heart's desire is to run right at the mess and just to watch God change lives on a personal level. And so that's what our ministry's focused on. And you're exactly right. Like, this is the epitome of what we want to see happen in our community.
Yeah, because you're just not building a – in that testimony, it's not about just building a ministry that people can look at and say, wow, look at that. It's about one girl who was praying,
yes,
and the Lord heard her prayer. But now a whole generational legacy has been built, and their lineage is never going to be the same. As Mr. Renee was saying, there's a well that just got dug that's going to feed many generations.
You are exactly right. And so one of the things that we – focus on in our ministry is seeing generational curses be broken, and to see people look back and be able to find generational blessings coming down the pipe. You know, generational faith, generational legacy of trust in God, you know, a generational, you know, purpose for salvation in families. Like, that's exactly what we want to see, man. And that's it right there in a nutshell.
Yeah. I'm at this point in my own life that, you know, as a pastor, you'll know what I'm getting ready to say. You know, I get asked, well, which one of your boys are going to take over? Like, who's going to come up behind you? And I look at him and say, I don't care if my boy ever preaches a sermon if they love Jesus well and they love their wife and children well. I say,
amen,
that it's not about raising preachers. It's about raising godly men.
Mm-hmm.
When you are obsessed with ministry, you're always going to try to reproduce ministry. But
yeah,
when you're obsessed with him, you're trying to reproduce him in the earth.
Mm. And so there was a time in my life when I worshiped church more than God.
Hmm.
And I will be totally transparent about that. You know, my other testimony is I came from a life of addiction and violence and sin as well. And I was the lost son. I mean, Luke 15 is my story. I mean, I was the prodigal son, and God radically set me free. But there for a time, I saw myself like transform into the older son. And
wow.
I began to worship church and the religion that went around it way more than I did God. And he had to really, you know, get my attention and help me come to terms with where I was at. And so, yes, we need to focus on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit, on the power of his word and his gospel and his grace. And if we raise godly men, like, the ministry will come, right? The ministry
yeah.
will come, because
yeah.
they won't be able to help themselves except to talk about what has happened in their lives and what God has done to them. And whether that's to a stage filled with hundreds and thousands of people, or whether that's a one-on-one conversation that happens at work or out in public or whatever, like all of it is effective ministry to me.
Mm. So good. Because the older, we talk about the prodigal son a lot.
Man.
But the older son, he was in the house. He could have had the calf any time, but he was so busy being the older son, he's just in the house.
Yeah, yes. Yes, and so our oldest son, when he was a kid, actually, like, he rocked our entire ministry world. So at the time, I was me and my wife were leading a youth ministry at a big church, and we had this small group model that we were practicing. And basically, it's a conversational, story-based small group model. And we would tell a story, and then you would really just kind of ask one question. Basically, who are you in the story, or what effect does this kind of have on you? And we did the prodigal son story with our son, who was 8 at the time, just to kind of see if we could use this same model in our youth and children's ministry. And so we tell the story of the prodigal son, we go through the whole thing, and then we rebuild it all together, and then we ask one question, who are you in the story, right? And so the answer everybody always gives is, I'm the prodigal son, right? They're like, oh, I've been in sin, and God rescued me, and that's my story. And so we're doing this in our living room. And so we go through the whole story, and we ask our 8-year-old son, we're like, okay, who are you in the story? And he's like, I'm the older son. And we're like, what? You're the older son? He's like, yeah. He's like, you got to spend all your time ministering to these youth kids and these teenagers and doing all this church stuff. And sometimes I'm standing to the side going, what about me?
Whoa. Wow, come on. Shoo.
And that changed our entire life. It changed our entire family. It changed our entire outlook on ministry. The Holy Spirit showed up there in our living room right there that night and reminded us of what our focus had to be, right? And, Of course now he's one of the youth leaders in our church. And so, but you see what I'm saying is when you focus on the right things, like God moves in power in the right ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow, good word, Paul. I want to interject this real quick because I know my majority of my family sit up on the left side of Paul's church. I was there Sunday because we didn't have church.
They do. Yes, ma'am.
But he's been such a mentor to my son-in-law, Jalen. I mean, Paul has discipled him. Yeah. I mean, he really has taken him under his wing. And Kenny and I can't appreciate enough, you know. Yeah. And now Destiny and the 5 boys are going, and my sister and her husband and her 2 kids. So, you know, he's a pastor of many pastors, you know. But I always say behind a great man is a great woman. And I wanted to give his wife honor because she's an amazing woman. Sometimes I look back and they got a lot going on at the way. Sometimes I walk out and I'm going, I'm tired for them. God bless them. They've got to be tired. And I just pray for strength for them. But he has the most amazing partner. For what little bit that I know is she's a woman of great integrity and just what Joanna has shared with me, the word. And so Paul's great. He's out in the front. He does a great job. But I'm going to tell you, the rod in his back is his wife, Angela.
Yeah.
From what I can tell you, she is the rod in that back. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Miss Renee, you are 1,000% right. Like, without her, this ministry doesn't happen. Without her, this family doesn't happen. Without her, I don't happen. Yeah. She really is truly everything to us in our church, in our family. And I would not trade anything that I could ever have in life for her. She is such an incredible blessing to me, and she's the greatest gift that God has ever given me, truly. There's nobody else that I would want to share life with. There's nobody else that I would want to raise my sons with, and nobody else that I would want to do ministry with. It is truly her heart that you know, God has used to steer this ministry in the direction that it goes. And so, yes, you are 1,000% right. So I would be remiss if not to honor her and to give her, all the props that I can possibly muster for what she does in our ministry. I mean, she's my partner, obviously, and supports me in every way. She's our family ministry director. She leads our youth and children's ministries and plus our women's ministry and does so much for the kingdom of God and for our family.
And she's very hidden, isn't she, Paul? Like, she doesn't ever try to be seen. She's so hidden like a well treasure.
Yes, that is correct. She really is. And, I have to, and she does do some speaking and stuff like that, but I have to force her to. I have to kick her out there a little bit. And, you know, she has a gifting for that, too, and an anointing to be out in front, but she doesn't crave that at all.
Yeah. Wow. Any other testimonies you got to share with us? We love testimonies. I'm loving this.
Hey, man, I've got a ton of testimonies. God just works so many miracles, man. So this past weekend, we went down to Nashville. We partnered with a ministry called Mission 615 that ministers to, the homeless community and inner city kids in Nashville, Tennessee. And so we love that, love doing that so much. And so just this past weekend, I was able to go and preach the gospel right in the middle of a homeless camp in Nashville, Tennessee. And we saw many people come to the Lord. We saw healing and deliverance and just the power of God just overwhelm that place. And just do a mighty work in there. And so that's just a testimony of God just calling us not to wait on people to come to church, but to do what God's called us to do, and just to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and run into wherever kind of situation that he calls us to run into. And so that was just took place just this past weekend. So that was an incredible thing that we got to be part of.
Amen. Now, you all, you correct me if I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm not. But you had said you just recently got back from Puerto Rico as well.
We did. We did. So, yeah, we just got back from Puerto Rico. So we were blessed to take a ministry team of like 25 people. And, you know, Renee's son-in-law, Jalen, went with us on that trip. And we got to partner with two different churches down there, go out into the community and pray for people and lift them up and be part of you know, working on a facility that's going to eventually become a battered women's shelter as well as a school for kids that have kind of, you know, fallen to the wayside and dropped out of high school and things. We're able to focus on that and help that minister and kind of, you know, we had J.R. Beckley with us, who's my worship leader, who's also an incredible carpenter that kind of he led worship at the event that you preached at down
yes,
there.
Yes, yes, did a great job.
Yeah, and he's also a carpenter by trade, so he was kind of able to help lead us in all the construction work. And so we made massive changes to that facility, and we were just blessed to be able to be with those people and minister to them and just see God just work miracles in our midst down there in Puerto Rico.
So now, what region was you in?
We were right in San Juan, man. We were right in the middle of San Juan.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Right in the city. And I was trying to explain that to the folks we were with, you know, taking, because they thought we were going to be in kind of more of a remote rural area. And I was like, no. Like, we're going into the city. Like, well, think being in Louisville, right?
San Juan is large. It is. Was you all more downtown San Juan or old San Juan?
So we were downtown San Juan. So we were just south of the lake there.
Yeah.
Right. And so, man. So just in downtown San Juan. And of course, we went and toured the old city and things like that and had a good time doing that. But all of our ministry took place in the downtown area.
Yeah.
It's kind of the more, you know, rougher side of town, man, which is just where the way church is comfortable being, man. It's right where we wanted to be.
Most of our work that we center in is in Toa Baja, right there on that. Toa Baja and Dorado is about where we center in on, which is the outskirts of San Juan. But it is drug central there. And
yeah,
so
sure.
We'll be back down there in 2 weeks. So not 2 weeks from now, we get to go right into the drug cartels. We're going straight into them, and we're going to preach the gospel right into their streets. And
that is awesome.
And so we're actually not bringing – we usually bring last trip we brought teenagers. We were going to try to do that again, but actually it's just this time it's just two guys, me and another gentleman, because – we don't know how risky and dangerous it will be to bring kids into that kind of environment on this one.
Exactly. No, I know 100%. And so we do some ministry in Haiti as well. And so, and of course we can't go there at all right now, but the last time that I went, it was just me and one other guy that went down there to do ministry. So we support an orphanage in Ghana, Haiti. And so we have some ministry there. That's kind of what we did the last time that I went, just two of us went and had an awesome, you know, spiritual encounter in that moment as well.
Yeah. Well, man, I love your heart. I love what you're doing. I hope we can connect more. And I love what God's doing through the way there in Horse Cave, correct? It's in Horse Cave.
Yes, sir, in Horse Cave. So we're at what people would know in antiquity as the Horse Cave Theater, right, or the Kentucky Repertory Theater. So there was a live actors theater right there, and there's a testimony with this too. But anyway, there was a live actors theater right in the middle of Horse Cave. And so that theater went out of business, I don't know, about 15 years ago, and so we were able to access, you know, to acquire that building, and that's where our ministry's at. So it's right downtown Horse Cave, right beside the red light. It used to be the Kentucky Repertory Theater, and so that is now the Way Church, and has been for the last, I guess, almost 8 years now.
Wow. Amazing testimonies. I that was the second time hearing the testimony about the jail, and I still get rocked. I still get tears in my eyes.
I do every time I tell it, man. I've told that story a whole bunch of times, and it's just, you know, whenever we hear a testimony of God showing up right now, that there's just something powerful about that, you know. And he doesn't always. Sometimes it takes a while. Some, you know, we've got a testimony in our church of a lady that prayed for her husband for 30 years until he was radically saved. And so, you know, sometimes it takes some time, but sometimes he shows up right now. And I think people need to hear both of those, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Paul, will you do this? We just got 2 or 3 minutes left, and we're going to have to hop off. Can you pray for us?
Yeah. I will be glad to. Real quick, let me say, Good Friday night, we have a very special service at the Way Church called The Darkest Day. And what we do in that is we have live actors that portray many of the scenes from, you know, starting at the Last Supper and going to the garden and going to the trial and, you know, ending at the crucifixion, the burial, and And so we have worship. Our worship band, our incredible worship band, does some songs in between those, and we have preachers that people that read the scriptures, and it's all done by candlelight, and it's one of the most incredible things that I've ever been a part of. It's my favorite service of the year, and so Good Friday, this Friday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to do that Darkest Day at the Way Church. Then of course on Easter Sunday we got two services at 9 and 11. So anybody that's listening that doesn't have a home church, we would love to invite to come Sunday, and then anybody that doesn't have a Good Friday service, we'd love to invite everybody to come Friday night.
Amen.
All right. Good deal.
Awesome. Pray
All
for
right.
us.
Let's pray. Father, I lift up this ministry to you, this incredible radio ministry that reaches so many people, God. And I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would flow through these radio waves, God, and just encounter people right where they're at, God, that you'd work miracles, that you'd change lives, that your gospel would save souls in the way that only you can, God. We are so thankful that the people of God are still standing up for the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, I pray for just radical life change and radical faith to just overtake all the darkness in this world, God, and that you would just let your light shine on the earth. Father, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Hopefully, connect more. I hope to hear from you soon, my brother.
Sounds good, man. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.